PWI Podcast, episode number 203, take two, action.
Jackson.
Before we start, Milwaukee.
Oh, Milwaukee!
Are you ready?
The drugs from my generation, and it's a sin. The gods, the freaks, the fraud, the messer with me. Come on.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI Podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner
of the United States
of the Americas. And I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend. He is known by many a things. He is most definitely, though, the inebriator in the era that is awesome. It is him. It doth be DPP.
Welcome back, podcast degenerates. As we heard earlier, it's episode 203 of the DWI Podcast. PC Tunney, welcome to this brunch edition.
Yeah, we're both off Friday, and so we figured let's just knock it out here in the afternoon. You just got done cutting the grass. That went well, apparently.
Good.
Yeah,
it went very well. I got through on one. I have a battery powered mower, and I got through the entire lawn on one charge. I'm very excited about that because usually it takes two.
That's funny you say that, because I was golfing with cousin of Tunney yesterday, and we went over to the old watering hole afterwards, and had a beer and we're talking, and he's like, there was a commercial on one of the baseball game was on. There's a commercial with the battery powered lawnmower. And he's like, I've been buying all that stuff. He goes, I haven't gotten the lawnmower yet, but he goes, I got the trimmer, this, that, and the other thing. And he's like, it's great. You don't have to deal with the oil gas mix, So you got a pretty big yard, though. You have some pretty, solid grass. Your grass is pretty thick. You have some hills, though. So I would imagine, you can get through it in one shot, though.
On mine, I can. It's The only bad thing about them, and I don't know, mine's a little bit older. I've had it for a couple of years, so I don't know the progression that they've made in these mowers, but mine is not self-propelled, so I have to push it, which is, it's not so bad, really, in all honesty. But we got, the worst thing is I got a lot of trees, as and there's the sticks, and there's all that other shit that you kind of got to stop and move out of the way as you're going. And otherwise, unless I let it go more than a week, I can get through it. If I mow it every week, I can usually get through it on one charge. But since the season just started, I have not gotten through it in one, because the grass is growing ridiculously and we've had a shit ton of rain. So it has not been very favorable.
Right. It's been difficult to pick and choose where you're going to mow. You mentioned the self-propel thing. I have that on my, I push mower too. I don't need a riding more anymore. Not like when I was growing up and we had a gigantic expanse of grass that took almost 3 hours to cut. But I have the self-propel, but I it's too slow for me. I've never met a self-propel that was fast enough for me. So the only time I use it is when I'm going up that edge of the hill that goes right down to the road there. Makes it a little easier there. I can take my time going up that short hill there. But just to finish the grass cutting conversation, folks, just remember, it's not how fast you mow, it's how well you mow fast. DP, let's let everybody know what's on the DWI Podcast this week.
Well, we're waiting.
Indeed. All right. Well, AEW, we're definitely going to get into Double or Nothing and talk about the effects of that, and maybe bring up Sammy's so-called, apparently now it's scripted. I've heard it wasn't scripted, that they lied to the people and said it wasn't, and now that it is scripted, it makes more sense. We'll talk about Sami Zayn's AEW mention as well, probably there. We're going to get into NXT TakeOver 25. We're going to run down that card. Don't forget to go on over to thechairshot.com, check out the Chairshot staff picks. There's been a really good percentage of winning picks there by the conglomerate known as the Chairshot staff pick. So I believe we're still hitting it over 70%. Check that out. Head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And we're also going to have a last call that's going to, you know, involve two legends will be showing up on WWE television this week. One Raw and one SmackDown. So DP, do me a favor and let's not talk about Toronto versus Golden State, okay? And ring the bell. Oh, what? Boy, then people up north there in Canada, you got to be really excited after a big Game 1 victory, huh?
Well, I didn't watch it, which I don't know why, but I that's pretty surprising that they actually pulled out a victory.
Big performance. Siakam had 32, so that helps.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to need a lot of help from their support staff.
We'll see what happens. The Raptors can definitely play defense. We found that out firsthand. So, DP, let's talk wrestling. Let's talk Double or Nothing. We both know what happened. We both know it was a really, really good show. I had a chance to talk to Big Dave. You can find him on the Attitude of Aggression podcast, Attitude Ag, AGG on the Twitter. And he said it felt like an NXT show, and it delivered like that too. You know, excellent matches. The Bucks, the Lucha Bros, Omega and Jericho, a number of other matches. I believe Hangman Page went over in the Battle Royal. And then we also had Moxley show up at the end there. So that was the big surprise. That's pretty big. A pretty solid start for AEW if you don't really count, you know, the first All In, which was basically a Ring of Honor show as well. So how did you feel about the card? How do you feel about them moving forward? I believe their next event is going to be... What was it, August?
I forget the name of it, though. What was it called?
Take this time.
Mission. Yeah. All Out. August 31st.
That could be it.
And it's going to be near our hometown in Chicago.
Chicago. Boy, are there CM Punk rumors going to be rampant heading into that, huh? Yep.
Just a little bit, you think? Boy.
So let's not get ahead of ourselves. DP, your thoughts on Double or Nothing?
I mean, it's a fantastic start. I think, I don't know, I guess that's kind of what I expected, is kind of that NXT vibe, Ring of Honor kind of vibe. I mean, it's definitely not, you know, like we've always talked about, it's not going to be WWE. It's going to be a completely different show. And it's going to feel more like, I mean, it's a smaller venues a little bit, you know, and so, but you're going to have some great wrestling, and they showed it right here. I mean, Cody and Dustin killed it. They had a fantastic match.
Yeah.
A lot I'm of looking forward there. To them teaming up, coming up here in the next show.
I know Big Rick had the old tweet out about Austin bleeding at WrestleMania 13. And then, Dustin
wore it better
at Double or Nothing. Yeah, who wore it better? And I was like, yo, Ric Flair, man, you can't forget the guy who has the white hair with all the red in it and all over his face. That's to me was the
oh my best. God, that was fantastic. I remember that when it was funny, did that WWF a couple times too, and just the hair would go like straight up and back and it'd be all blood, all red when he had the longer hair. That's fantastic. But you know, a lot of these guys, I mean, you may not necessarily know as well, which is a tough thing. But as it starts going and as they start getting on television, you're going to start to get to know these guys a lot better and know some of the other characters other than just, you know, the Young Bucks and Cody. And, you know, but they've got this starting group of these big names like Jericho, and now you got Moxley in there and Omega and Cody. You know, it's a great start, and it's just going to help build this brand even better, I think. And, you know, kind of these little surprises that they can throw at you, like Awesome Kong showing up. You know, was kind of a surprise too. So that was kind of neat. So you can, you know, they have that opportunity to do some of that kind of stuff. And that's, I think, going to be their one of their biggest advantages.
So it's great because we're adding another night of wrestling, right? I mean, we're going to have wrestling Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Do you think with the addition of television and being able to get even more into the story, I mean, obviously, they, you know, right now they just have these specials, another one coming up, but we're actually going to have a weekly product, weekly storylines to look, fall back on. Are you going to be willing to spend 50, 60 bucks 4 or 5 times a year to watch their pay-per-views?
Well, and that's going to be a question. How often are they going to have a pay-per-view? Is it going to be monthly? Is it going to be, you know, quarterly? I mean, depending on how they create their month or their weekly show, I mean, that's what it's going to come down to, right? It's going to come down to once they actually get into the weekly episodic stuff and start telling more storylines and some of these other characters get on a little more and you start to know, learn who they are. Are they going to build them properly? You know, that's the whole big thing, right? Storylines, you know, investing in characters and making it worth your while to actually get the pay-per-view and watch these matches. I, you know, if they do it right, I think they could, I would easily want to spend that money. If it's, you know, quarterly, I would do it. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think for seeing, you know, a lot of these guys, and again, depending on how they do it every week, but I think they have the opportunity. I think they have a good core group of guys that know how to get across a good television show, you know, especially with Jericho helping them out, you know, behind the scenes is going to be really helpful. And now they got Malenko and, you know, they're starting to get some guys that know how to do this. You know, I think it's going to be well worth it.
Well, not to mention JR is there as well. So that's huge. Yeah. That's instant credibility. I just look forward to covering it. I feel like we'll talk a lot more about it in the same fashion we do WWE once the weekly TV show starts coming up. You know, I'm really looking forward to having that extra hour, hour and a half. I forget how long they said the show was going to be. Is it 2 hours or was it 90 minutes?
Cody, well, I think in the interview Cody had, he said 90 minutes. He said 2 hours is probably the sweet spot, you know, somewhere in between hour and a half, 2 hours. So I'm guessing they're going to probably push for a 2 hour slot.
Gotcha. Yeah, I would love to see them do an hour and a half, but 2 hours makes sense. I would imagine they would not go longer than 2 hours. So,
no.
DP, we talked about TakeOver. It felt like TakeOver is what Big Dave said. So let's move on and talk about NXT TakeOver 25. I can't believe this is the 25th TakeOver already. I sent out the staff picks email, and that's what I was like. Hey, everybody, it's the 25th one already.
It's absurd. It does not feel like but 25. If it's only, you know, but especially if it's only been like for a year. But I guess, I don't know. There's a couple extra specials that were thrown in there, maybe.
So
and doesn't feel like it's been that long.
Well, and you bring up the word special, and this one feels kind of special because it's all on its own, right? It's been a while since they've had one on a weekend by themselves, I believe. And you know, they're coming off the heels of Money in the Bank and Double or Nothing especially. And people always talk about how takeovers are the best, especially wrestling-wise. They have the best matches. You know, they are considered, look at what happened at WrestleMania. That could have been the card event of the year already, and we'd just begun the new wrestling WWE calendar year. So how do you think these performers from NXT are going to respond coming off of, like I said, the heels of Money in the Bank, Double or Nothing, riding that big wave? And think about it. This is like 4 weeks in a row. We had Money in the Bank. We had Double or Nothing. We have TakeOver 25. Next week when you get home from work on Friday, you'll have a Saudi Arabia special to watch, whether you like it or not. Super House Show will be on your WWE Network, and I can't wait to sit down and watch it, and I can't wait to talk about Last Call today. But get back to it, DP. How do you think these guys are going to respond amidst this big wave of wrestling right now?
I, you know, to me, I got to feel like they've got a ton of pressure on them. I mean, because I think they've got a spotlight here to say, we just had AEW kind of, I mean, I know they've had a special before, but this was kind of their, right, almost their jump start into their coming up weekly show.
And it's like
starting to really build that.
It's like if Wrestling Classic, which was before WrestleMania, was what kind of WWE's first big event, right? That would have been All In, and now Double or Nothing would have been their, they're gonna, this is their keystone, this is their, you know, their cornerstone here of WrestleMania 1 for WWE is basically considered their first pay-per-view and starts the era that we talk about of, you know, current modern-day wrestling starts for WWE with WrestleMania 1. Current AEW, you can associate almost everybody with, that's with the company from the first show, but that was more Ring of Honor taking care of business side. This is going to be their WrestleMania 1, if you will.
Right, right. And now you're coming off that, and everybody just watched that, and now WWE has to come back and say, hey, we're still the top dog. We still got, you know, here, come look at our shit. We're still, you know, the best, and we got to go out there and prove it. And I think this is, you know, I know this is not the WWE main brand necessarily, but this is NXT, and this is, you know, like you said, this has kind of been the best shows wrestling-wise in the WWE for, you know, their specials. As you know, we talked about WrestleMania, the NXT show there was kind of could have been the, you know, card of the year already. And I think these guys got to come out and say, look, we're still the top dog. We're still better. I know you just watched this show. Come watch us. This is why you're watching us and not them. And I think that's what they got to prove here, you know, this weekend. And it's card-wise, I don't see how they couldn't. And it should be a lot of fun to watch.
You bring up the card-wise, and that's kind of one thing. We have five super solid matchups here going on Saturday night. Let's start by talking about Matt Riddle taking on Roderick Strong. Could Matt Riddle be on the fast track to SummerSlam weekend main eventing NXT for the title against Cole or Gargano? I mean, he had his match against Dream. You thought that he might have won the title there. He didn't, right? Dream beat him. Right. And, you know, a win against Strong here, pardon the punniness, but would make Riddle look really strong moving into the summer here.
Well, and what a, you know, there's no better guy that I could think of to put him up against, because Roderick Strong is a fantastic singles wrestler and can make a guy look strong in the ring. And, you know, as much as Matt Riddle almost doesn't necessarily need it, because the way he's, every time he's been out there, he has delivered a fantastic match. And I didn't watch him before he came to NXT, and watching him now is just like, man, he is amazing in the ring. And I think these two guys could, I mean, you look at the rest of the card, any one of them could be, but this one could easily steal the show and be the match of the night. And Roderick Strong is, I mean, I gotta imagine Matt Riddle's gonna go over on this one, you know, because I like your thought, Tony, Matt Riddle's probably gonna go up against Gargano or Cole coming up at the next NXT show around SummerSlam. And Roderick Strong can easily make him look like $1 million, you know, if he doesn't already look like $1 million. And these guys could just go kill it. And I like Matt Riddle coming out of this one, and should be a possibly match of the night. Not saying, just saying.
Well, speaking of what we think is going to be match of the night, I am really looking forward to the four-way tag match. I think all of these teams are phenomenal. I think they're all really hungry. I can't wait to see how they put this match together, but I think that this one could bring down the house. The tag matches at the NXT specials have just been unbelievable. I mean, they've been the strongest matches in overall WWE tag team division, if you include UK, Raw, SmackDown, Women, and NXT. They've definitely led the way in tag team wrestling, DP.
Agreed. And the fact that this is going to be a ladder match is pretty fantastic. And I'm looking forward. I'll tell you, I know these guys have always been the underdogs, and I want to see these guys on the main roster, because I think they could really help the tag team division. But Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, I have loved, you know, ever since I've seen them wrestle as singles and then putting together as a tag team. I think these guys are just fucking awesome to watch in any kind of match. And they're always like just killing it and selling like crazy. And I can't wait to see what these guys do in this match, because it's going to be, I mean, like you said, you got four awesome, hungry tag teams that should put on a ridiculous show.
I wouldn't be surprised if any of them walked out with the titles. I would put at the bottom of my list, I would put Undisputed Era winning here. I don't see them. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe all four members won their matches. That could be something really cool that they do with some momentum heading into SummerSlam weekend, with kind of an all Undisputed Era thing where maybe they all lose there, or maybe they all lose here. I don't know. I just don't see them coming away with the titles. I do like the Street Profits here, but like I said, Forgotten Sons is definitely an excellent team, and I like where you're at with Lorcan and Birch. I think the main roster could definitely benefit from them being up there. They have a little bit of that underdog to them too, where people can really get behind them as well. So yeah, this is my pick for match of the night here. I can't wait to watch this match. And like I said, NXT Tag Team Wrestling has been probably the best in the world for a while now.
Yeah, it's tough. And, you know, and especially when you look at the main roster, other than, you know, the Usos and the New Day, you know, and the Revival have kind of, it feels like they've been, been used to their abilities.
Where have the War Raiders been?
War Raiders have been gone. The AOP have been gone, but I think the one guy's been hurt. So I think
they said he's getting close to coming back.
Yeah, good. That'll really help, I think. Hopefully they do something a little better with them. But yeah, it's, I mean, tag team wise, it's definitely been NXT that have been, these guys have been killing it. And I'm kind of with you on this whole thing. That's why I love Lorcan and Birch, because they could be just these great underdogs on the main roster. You know, they lose a ton of matches, but always, you know, putting on a hell of a show, and finally everybody gets behind them and they get that big win would be kind of cool. I'm with you on the Street Profits. I kind of feel like this is going to be their match, but I the Forgotten Sons definitely could steal this one and could be a really good team to hold the titles for a little while. As far as the Undisputed Era goes, I was surprised. I'm kind of with you on this one, because I don't see them winning it again, winning the tag titles, but I feel it's either going one way or the other. Either, like you said, they all get it and it's an undisputed takeover at SummerSlam, or they all lose here, because I've been kind of talking about it for a while, but I really want them to be on the main roster. I think they'd be a really good faction to come up, even though apparently the main roster doesn't like factions and we just break them up after a month like Sanity and everybody else. So who knows, but these guys on the main roster could be great too. So I kind of feel like if, you know, either they all should lose or they all should win, right? And just hold all the titles. But I guess we'll see where that one goes.
I could see Undisputed Era coming up as like Triple H's, you know, gang, you know, that he does their bidding and stuff. You know, he kind of like a, not a corporation kind of thing, but just, you know, Triple H's little gang that he kind of pushes out here and there and tells them what to do and wild cards them all over the both brands. Be something good for them.
Be kind of cool. Kind of like a, almost like a Shield thing where they just get, you know, come out and cause some havoc and, you know, go away.
Yeah. They're the anti-Shield.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not out for justice. They're out for just tearing shit up. Almost like Nexus when they first started.
There you go.
You know, come out and just destroy some shit and then go away.
Well, they do have the armbands. So.
See?
Let's talk about another title, the North American title. Velveteen Dream has just been on a roll for, boy, a couple years now, year and a half at least. He's been phenomenal ever since we just had WrestleMania 35, right? I mean, the guy's been putting on great match after great match at each special. His character continues to get better and better. Do you think maybe he just holds on to this title for a while and kind of makes it very meaningful? I mean, makes it almost even as meaningful as the NXT title, and he never really holds the NXT title? Because at some point, Velveteen Dream is going to be up sooner than later, you would have to imagine.
I think especially with the role that he's on and the way his character's been building and been the popularity, I would think you definitely got to bring him up sooner than later. And, you know, I don't...
Can he lose
it? It's tough to say, seeing him on...
Can he lose that title here to Breeze and still go on to be main eventing NXT a SummerSlam weekend?
Potentially. I mean, him against Gargano, you know, could be a really good be a really good match.
Right, but does that make sense, like, to have that short of a turnaround for him in losing momentum with the title? I mean, I get it, it's wrestling, they can do whatever the fuck they want, but wouldn't it make more sense for him to lose the title and then have a blow off thing and then regain momentum going after chasing?
I would. I mean, that's kind of the standard process, right? Lose. And you could definitely do it over television, though, over the regular matches or regular shows, and just have him get his rematch eventually, you know, and then build his way over to Gargano. I could see him doing that. It's just tough because you got, you know, it's Tyler Breeze, who is technically not an NXT guy anymore. You know, do you see a guy like that winning a title when it comes to an NXT show? You know, the way they're moving guys around, I guess.
I don't see why not. He is probably more known for his wrestling ability from NXT. I mean, the only thing you know of him on WWE television is the bit he did with Fandango. So, yeah. You know, I wouldn't mind him staying down there and teaching people and getting them over. He does a great job of that. And he's also an excellent wrestler. We talked about the other two matches being possible match of the night. This is also, you know, something that's going to be a really good match, no matter how you put it.
Yeah, that's why it's tough. That's why I'm like, hey, you know, that first match could be, but shit, any match you look at on the card could really kill it. And yeah, I'm with you. I have no problem with Tyler Breeze staying down there if, you know, if they want to do that. And I just that's the tough thing is momentum wise. What do you do with Dream if you have him? Man, I'd like your first option of him holding this title for longer and making it a little more of a, you know, a big name title.
Losing it
and someone finally taking it off of him would be a big thing. Keep him until WrestleMania and lose it there off somebody that's, you know, a newer up and coming guy. I don't know.
Well, speaking of people holding titles for a long time, Shayna Baszler has been the NXT Women's Champion for longer than, you know, just 5 minutes or so. But she's taken on a very formidable opponent, Io Shirai. We've seen these two in the ring together before. Obviously, like every other fucking match, we always say it, NXT is going to be a great match. This one will deliver as well. I feel like Baszler's time could finally be up. We talk about the main roster benefiting from people coming up out of NXT. This is someone that could really help bolster either Raw or SmackDown's division for the women.
I think I agree with you. Now it would be a great time, especially when with Ronda Rousey, you know, taking some time off there to bring in somebody that's kind of a similar style to Rousey, where she's more of an MMA background, would be a great spot. And especially when it's kind of that transition time, right? And we got the tag team division starting up for the women. You know, you're kind of starting to, you know, not necessarily spread it thin, but you're, you know, you got more opportunities. You know, you got two titles and then you got the tag titles as well. And you got a couple of the women hurt. You know, Nia Jax is out for a while. Alexa Bliss hasn't been really able to get back to herself after her, it was the concussions and stuff. So this would be a great time to do it. And I think would be a great opportunity for her to cement a spot on the main roster. Eventually when Rousey comes back, could be a great matchup between either with these against them, each other, or when Rousey comes back, teaming up and having that faction kind of come together.
Yeah, I like
four horsewomen thing.
Why not give them the tag titles and then have them break up and lead to a match like that? You know, put a little history
classic
behind it. Yep, there you go. It writes shit writes itself. We're gonna move on because we can't top that, motherfucker. speaking of topping stuff, before we do move on to the final match on the NXT card, let's take a pause for the cause. Woo!
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Gargano or Cole? Cole or Gargano? Finkel and Einhorn. Einhorn and Finkel. you want to amaze and astonish the people? Give them your old...
Oh, boy.
You want to do it? You got it in you? I'm not asking you to name all the towns from the Johnny Cash song.
Oh, I don't think I can do them all anymore. I could do the first first one, and that's it now.
Yeah, I would bet you could still do the Ace Ventura.
Oh boy! All right, here we go. Soccer-style kicker, graduate from Collier High, June 1976, Stetson University honored graduate class of 1980, holds two NCAA divisional records, one for most points in the season, one for distance, former nicknamed the Mule, the first ever president to come out of Collier County, one hell of a model American.
Yeah, ring the bell. There you go, folks.
Oh, boy.
Just some of DP's hidden talents.
There's my high school talent right there.
I can see Johnny Gargano defending this title takeover SummerSlam weekend. I can also see Adam Cole winning the title here, you know, and the staff picks really represent the fact that the tag titles and this NXT title seem to be, we're not really sure who's going to win here. I mean, we made opposite picks now that I'm looking at them.
Hey, all right. So
yeah, we had everything else the same. We had everything else the same except for this.
Interesting. Yeah, this was a tough one for me. I was kind of 50-50 on it because I do love Adam Cole, and I think he hasn't gotten an opportunity to run with the NXT title yet. It seems like he should have it before he moves up to the main roster, right? Kind of. I mean, but he did get he was the initial North American champion. But he never, I don't know, it just seems like he never had a big run with a title. But I could also say the same thing for Gargano. He just got the NXT championship. He hasn't really had a big run with that other than the tag titles. You know, he lost the North American championship, you know, very quickly as well. So it was really 50-50 for me on this one. I'm kind of sticking with the Gargano pick just because he just got this title and I think he needs to hold on to it for a little while longer. And that's kind of the only reason I picked him, honestly.
I think Gargano wins here because I feel like SummerSlam weekend, he'll lose to whoever they want to have take the title over next. And I think he'll come up then. I think Gargano's time to come up will be at the end of the summer, which is really funny because we could be sitting here next week and I could look like a jackass and he came up after losing the title here, right? I mean, how much longer does Gargano stay down in NXT? Do you see him staying down there past SummerSlam, past Survivor Series, all the way till next WrestleMania? Do you see him being down there for a full another year?
I didn't see him staying down there for the year previous. I mean, when they were riding high with him and Ciampa, you know, as the tag team, as DIY, and then once they did their split, and that was, I felt that was kind of the time to do it. It was right after their feud. And that, you know, once the injury happened, I thought they had a great opportunity to bring him up to the main roster to do that. And they decided to keep him down there and do this whole thing. And I think, you know, I think it worked out a lot better, especially for Ciampa. You know, he had a great run when he came back and then, of course, unfortunately got injured again. I didn't see him staying around that long, you know, so I pretty much figure at any point he's going to come up. He's got to, right? I mean, how long do you keep him down there doing this? Maybe they just don't know where to go with him, you know, because he's definitely a cruiserweight, but you put him on 205 Live and kind of lose the exposure of his character. Because unfortunately, I'm sorry, 205 Live is just not, it's not the main roster. I mean, right. I know you can do the whole guys can, you know, the wild card rule now, you know, you can move guys around to the different spots, but I don't know what you do with them on the main roster. That's the tough thing. I think the tag team was perfect for them to come up DIY as a tag team and do it, but
well, we'll see what happens. I mean, this is the closest pick here, so I couldn't really tell you. This is one I wouldn't bet on, folks. How's that sound?
I don't think I'd bet on any of these picks, honestly. They really could go any way. The way we just talked, I think the only one other than, you know, the first four, I think Matt Riddle maybe is the most, seems to be the most one that you could pick, you know, across the board and probably bet on. But otherwise, you really could go anywhere with these other four, I think.
Well, there is a large, very large difference in picks. Riddle and Dream and Shirai are all picked very heavy favorites. And then, Cole is barely edging out Gargano, and Street Profits are barely edging out Forgotten Sons. So that's kind of what the chair shot conglomerate pick is looking like right now. So if that gives anybody any indication, who knows? There's only five picks, so you're either going to hit at about a, you're going to either hit at a 60%, an 80%, or 100% if you get more right than wrong. So there's not a lot of margin for error here.
No, not on the takeover shows, but that's okay. That's the fun of those.
Let me dial back here to takeover at WrestleMania. Where is it here? There's also five matches. And I'm looking at the picks here. Yeah, I think Corey Guns was the only one to get 4 out of 5 right. So if that tells you anything.
Wow.
I also want to give a shout out to, while we're talking about the staff picks, at Money in the Bank, Bobby Fernandez got everything right except for Brock Lesnar winning the Money in the Bank, which no one had, and he had the Miz over Shane. He picked every other match right at Money in the Bank.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that 13 of 15? Jesus Christ.
9 of 11.
Wow.
And one of them you could almost throw out because Brock wasn't in the match, so it's technically something you didn't pick.
That's true.
So, all right, DP, I think it's about that time. Let's play a slightly different version of What You Drinking.
Drink it in, man. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Pour my beer down the sink. I've got more in the trunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. And I'm going to be drunk till the next time I'm drunk. I walk in the bar and the fella.
It's funny because it's not quite noon here where we're podcasting from, and DP and I both hold up our water bottles, and I'm like, ah, ooh, ah, vodka. No, it's water. It's water. This afternoon, though, I will definitely be going somewhere for lunch and having an IPA or two, most likely a Lakefront IPA. I've been having those lately. Also, my Two Hearted in the fridge there. And probably a shot of Jameson. But DP, you're going on a little excursion coming up here. I'm not going to give the exact days away of when you're going or when you'll be back or whatever. But you're heading out of the country here in the next, I don't know, time period.
Sometime
in the next 2 weeks. What are you going to be drinking where you're heading?
You boys like Mexico?
So I'm guessing there's going to be a margarita or two and some tequila in your future.
Oh, there's probably going to be some kind of tequila in the drinks I'll be having. That's for sure.
Excellent.
We'll be heading just south of Puerto Vallarta. So it'll be pretty nice. Our hotel is right on the beach that we're staying on, so that's going to be pretty awesome. But, yeah, there's probably going to be some tequila in there, I'm sure, a little bit. A lot of laying on the sandy beaches and just forgetting about everything, probably, because I'll be drunk
for
several days.
Well, that sounds like a great plan, and that sounds like the embodiment of what we've been doing right here. That's another edition of What You've Been Drinking. All right, DP, it's time for Last Call.
Last call.
What do you mean? What do I mean? It's Last Call. It's the last thing we're going to talk about. And I'm looking forward to next Friday. I brought it up before, Super Showdown. But this week, Monday Night Raw, Undertaker will be on Monday Night Raw. Ring the bell for that. And Goldberg will be on SmackDown on Tuesday. You can ring the bell for that too. I think it's really cool. I think it's something really cool that we get. You just have to accept it for what it is. It is a super house show, you know. You may get a storyline or two that is affected by something that happens out there. It's possible, but I don't really see Money in the Bank being cashed in. I don't really see any major title changes. How about you?
No, these kind of shows, you got it. Yeah, you just more expect that it's just for entertainment for the different country, right? I mean, that's all it is. And we're televising it, you know, on the network because they can do all that stuff now. So yeah, you're just, you can't expect for these ones, you know, like the Triple H Randy Orton thing, you know, that's not really, yeah, it's a good, it's going to be a great match, but it's storyline wise.
And boy, just like an RKO, didn't this match just come out of nowhere? Like all of a sudden they're like, yeah, hey, Randy's going. Wait, Randy's going? Hunter's going? Let's have him wrestle. And then you know what? And you know what? We don't have to waste any television time for them going out to the ring. We'll just take old matches and old promos and put a montage together, and this will be the easiest thing ever.
Right? I've already got it covered. We're all good. Don't have to worry about that one.
Well, you bring up the nostalgia matches, and the main thing I wanted to get here to talk about was Undertaker versus Goldberg. I think it's really great that they're going to be on television. I'm looking forward to their segments. I'm hoping that they each get a little bit of mic time. It's always great to see them come out. I'd like to get the full entrance from both of them. And the thing I'm looking forward to most is I don't think people understand that these two guys are still going to be able to, at this point in their career, put on a good match, I think. I don't think they're going to have this 3-minute match. I don't think they're going to have, you know, 5-6 minute match. I think they're going to have a 10, 12, 14-minute match at Super Showdown. Exclude from when the bell rings, right? I don't see Undertaker and Goldberg going out there and having the craptacular match that Undertaker and Cena had.
It's not for Lana. I don't think it can be that quick. I'm what worries me, this is going to be this could be the oldest match ever as far as age, right? I mean, they're both past their 50s. You know, I think Goldberg generally never has long matches. Undertaker can do it. You know, what I'm curious to see is what they're going to do, because I don't think you can't have a 3-minute match. I think you got to do something here a little bit more. And the fact that they've never wrestled right before, this is an opportunity to do something a little special. I know they're older, but I feel like they've got to do a little more than 5 minutes, because you can't have their intros be longer than their match.
You know, they'll take some time out of the ring. They'll take their time on some spots. They'll ground it down. You know, Undertaker's really good at taking care of people. I mean, in the ring, he's known as one of the best strikers for a reason, is because he doesn't beat the shit out of people unless he wants to. So, I know Goldberg's kind of rough, but who do you see winning this match?
Man, you know, that's tough, because when Goldberg came back, the whole idea was he wanted to win the, you know, he wanted to come back for his kid, you know, and then he went out, retired as, you know, in his loss, and that was it. And now he's coming back for one more. It's tough to have him lose, even though it's just kind of a, you know, it's more of a nostalgia match, sure, but... But can you also have The Undertaker lose? The Undertaker's The Undertaker.
I can see Bill saying, I'll come back to wrestle The Undertaker and lose. I'll come back to lose to Undertaker. I can also see The Undertaker saying, I'm going to put Goldberg over here.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I think I would have to pick Undertaker here, just because moving forward, it seems like he's going to have more matches. This could very well be Goldberg saying, you know what? Awesome. My last match is against The Undertaker. I'm getting one last big payday. I have no problem putting him over. The last spear and jackhammer I ever gave was to The Undertaker, and he kicked out of it, and he beat me. That's fine. I think Goldberg could live with that. He's probably getting, you know, $2 million to do this.
Took the words out of my mouth. I can't. That's about how I feel about it. I think The Undertaker would win out on that, because, yeah, he's definitely, as far as the potential for another match, The Undertaker's probably going to have that, where Goldberg probably doesn't want to do that. And exactly, this is his chance for a good payday. And he said, yep, let's do it. I get to wrestle The Undertaker. That's fucking kick ass. And exactly what you said.
So, folks, you've been able to hear my opinion on Pod is War. And I was also on with Driving with DeMarco to talk about this topic. DP and I, we took a vacation week last week. We're back right now, DWI Podcast, but DP has not been able to give his thoughts, so we're going to make this the very last thing we do here. give us your thoughts on the brand new WWE 24/7 title.
I wish they would have done something a little different with it. I like the idea. I kind of saw that it was coming. That was some kind of hardcore title. I wished it was more of a, I mean, I know they can't call it a hardcore title anymore because you can't really do that. And especially with the types of things they used to do where they would hit people over the heads with different trash cans and kendo sticks and chairs. You can't hit people in the head like that anymore because it's just a different era and it's, you know, it's safer. We don't want people to die. So why get it? Yeah, I can.
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah, brother. So, I'm fine with that part. I don't like the campiness that they're doing with it, where it's just, you know, it's like the Benny Hill show, basically, is what, and I'm sure Vince McMahon is laughing his ass off about.
I wish I had the sound bit.
Because that's what it feels like. You know, and I think the idea was to kind of get everybody, as far as all the brands involved in a title, is what I feel like they're trying to do, because you can have, you know, 205 Live guys and NXT guys and SmackDown and Raw. You can have anybody that's around, you know, have a shot at this championship. I would have rather seen it as more of a television title, like we've talked about, or just some kind of cross brand title where anybody has an opportunity to win it then. You know, anybody on any roster can challenge for the title. Maybe it's not necessarily a 24/7 rule, but it's anybody can come up and say, I want a shot at this title, and they can have a match on television on whatever show, and you can defend it. That would have been my opinion on it, man. And that's the way I would have done it, but that's not me, man. I'm not the one writing the show. So we'll see how they do with this one. But I feel like this was kind of some kind of attempt to answer AEW's, you know, thing of being, you know, something different. And just the way it is now, I don't think it's going to answer the mail of anything that's more entertaining. It just feels like it's just a silliness of people running around. It's the Benny Hill show, and I don't know, not necessarily for me, I guess.
There you go. There's DP's take right there on the 24/7 title. Last thing I want to say to everybody, for all of you HBO content connoisseurs, consumers that have a Game of Thrones hangover, the Deadwood movie is on tonight, 8 Eastern, HBO. So don't forget to set your DVR or make sure you have plans. I know they've been running Deadwood all day right now. If you have an opportunity on your phone and you want to watch a couple of the last episodes, they're running the season on HBO 2 right up to 7 o'clock into the movie. I've been catching some episodes here and there. It's funny, folks, because 2006 was when this season ended, so it's been 13 years. Cy Tolliver, the actor who played him, is no longer with us, so I'm not really sure how they did that, but I'm really looking forward to seeing Ian McShane and Timothy Oliphant back in their Deadwood roles. So, DP,
Mouseware Engine?
Yeah, cocksucker.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I totally forgot that was coming on.
I had to drop that in real quick. So, in honor of the Deadwood movie tonight, all you cocksuckers have been listening to another edition of the podcast known as
D-W.
I didn't really mean it. I just, you know, you're all good people. Thanks for listening. I mean, maybe some of you are, and that's your, well, you do whatever you got to do. Yeah, I'll just stop talking. I really wish we could name this podcast the one where PC calls our listeners cocksuckers, but I don't think that would go over too well.
I don't think we can do that.
That woo is one real cocksucker.